As you're seated, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to John as we continue our slow walk with Jesus in this book. And we come today to these closing verses of this chapter, verses 44 through 50. And these verses, as we'll see as we spend time in them this morning, are really a closing summary for us of the whole message of Jesus so far in this book. Starting in chapter 13, where we'll be next week, the focus of the book shifts for quite a while to Jesus' time with and his message for his own disciples. But before that shift happens, John captures in these seven verses the conclusion of Jesus' public teaching ministry with this summary. And really, this repetition of the cry of Jesus' own heart in Jesus' own words. So if you ever just want to be reminded of the main message of Jesus in the first 12 chapters of John, and you're short on time, just look at these seven verses. All of the major themes that Jesus has been emphasizing, he emphasizes again. All the important things that Jesus has been saying, he says again. This is a gift to us, and this is God's grace towards us, that Jesus reveals himself and Jesus repeats himself. I'm so glad that Jesus reveals himself, and I'm so glad that Jesus repeats himself. And he does this for our good. If you've ever been to an airport at any time in your life, you will have experienced the gift and the grace of a truth being repeated for you for your own good. Caution, the moving walkway is ending. 2 seconds later, caution, the moving walkway is ending. I always find myself wondering, who needs to be told that the moving walkway is, the unsanctified part of me is kind of wondering what would happen if someone didn't know the moving walkway was ending. But the airport authorities, out of the kindness of their heart, reveal and repeat a truth for our own good. Now that's a word of warning being repeated. What about a more comforting word, a more comforting truth, like a loved one telling you they love you, and the next day telling you they love you, and the next day, maybe multiple times a day, telling you they love you. If a truth is important enough, we can't hear it enough. And there is nothing more important than the truth of Jesus. There's nothing more beautiful in all the world than the revelation of God in Jesus. In the person of Jesus, and in the very words of Jesus. And that's why Jesus reveals himself and repeats himself. For our good. And for our grounding in the gospel. On Christ the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So let's turn our attention to these words of Jesus this morning, words that we ought to note. Firstly, John tells us Jesus cried out. So just imagine in your mind's eye this morning, in your mind, Jesus preaching these words, proclaiming, shouting these words to all the world. Notice first in verses 44 through 46 how Jesus repeats, again, for our good, the word of good news. And that word, which we've heard before and we can never hear enough, is believe. John writes in verse 44 that Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me." In other words, to believe in Jesus is to believe in God. Don't forget that. "And whoever sees me sees him who sent me." Meaning to see Jesus is to see God. Let's not forget that. "I have come," Jesus says, "into the world as light." Remember those words. We'll get back to those in a few minutes. "So that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." He's repeating these key themes here for us. It's important first just to remember the context in which Jesus speaks these words. That Jesus cries out these words of good news just moments after the unbelief and the hard hearts of the people has been exposed and addressed in verses 36 through 43, where we were last week, if you're with us. Jesus has been rejected by unbelievers. Jesus has been unconfessed by fickle believers. And so we might expect Jesus to respond sternly with condemnation, but he responds with grace. This is a constant theme in John, and John highlights it and highlights it and highlights it because this is a constant theme of the heart of Jesus. His response to rejection is not condemnation. Jesus' response to rejection is gracious revelation, but it's not just so that we would know facts about him, but it's so we would know him. Jesus responds to rejection with just more revelation, and that revelation of Jesus is an invitation, his invitation, that we would simply believe. So in case we've forgotten, Jesus is also reminding us here of the purpose for which he came. He says to save us from darkness of sin and judgment. But how does that happen? What is the door? Belief. Belief in him. He's told us this over and over again in John. He tells us again now. He has come, he says in verse 46, into the world as light, so that whoever simply and singularly believes in him may not remain in darkness. Salvation is only found through belief in Jesus. And Jesus assures us that this is true, because that's quite a claim. That salvation, deliverance, life is only found through Jesus, that's quite a claim. That's quite something for us to stake our lives on and our eternal destiny on. So how can we be sure that Jesus is the door? That belief in Jesus is the way to be saved. Jesus reminds us that we can trust him and what he's saying, because he's not just some sort of lower representative for God or a spokesperson for God or some sort of ambassador for God. He reminds us here that he is God. We say this every week in our Nicene Creed. He is of one being with the Father. So that's why in verse 46, he doesn't say he's come to bring the light or to show us where to find the light. He says in verse 46, "I have come into the world as light." God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Why? So we can be sure that whoever believes in him, and he says that twice in verse 44 and 46, believe in him, believe in him. And whoever sees him, whoever looks upon him, looks to him in faith, may not remain in darkness. The one doorway out of darkness into marvelous light is belief in Jesus. There's no tricks here. There's no riddle. There's no puzzle. Belief in Jesus. Now, where's one place in John we've heard this before? Because we have heard this before. Think back with me for a moment to John chapter 6, verse 28. I love this example. When the Jews asked Jesus there, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Plural. What must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus responds in the very next verse in the singular. Chapter 6, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So that's an important enough truth. Jesus returns to it, repeats it, underlines it, highlights it here in chapter 12, verse 46. Whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus has come as light, not to bring the light or show us the light. Jesus has come as light to save you from the darkness of sin and judgment through your singular belief in singular him. Hold that in mind now as Jesus repeats a word of warning. It's a hard truth, but a true truth. Jesus has taught before, and he emphasizes it again here about judgment. Verses 47 and 48, Jesus says, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. So Jesus emphasizes again, he's revealing and repeating for our good and for our grounding here, his loving word of warning about judgment. Now, as we consider what he's saying, we must remember that with Jesus, there is no separation between the person of Jesus and the words of Jesus. We can't separate those things out. Jesus is the Word of God, and he speaks the Word of God. As the Word of God, incarnate, his purpose is salvation. That's his purpose for his coming. He says that at the end of verse 47. I did not come, first coming, to judge the world, but to save the world. So therefore, as the Word of God, whose purpose is salvation, the spoken words of the Word have the same purpose. The incarnate words... Track with me here. The incarnate word and the spoken word of the incarnate word are equally for us and for our salvation. Therefore, Jesus says that the person who hears my words and does not keep them, and that's to say the person who has no real faith, the person who hears my words and does not keep them, in verse 47, is the same person as the one who rejects me in verse 48. Reject the saving words of Jesus and you reject the saving person of Jesus. And Jesus teaches us that is to choose judgment. So what's he doing here? He's emphasizing prominently for us out of his tenderness and mercy and grace, the purpose of his first coming in verse 47. He did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, where's one place we've heard that before? In John. Think back to John 3:17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And yet, there is judgment for those who reject that salvation. John 3:19 says that this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. So think of Jesus' saving initiative in his first coming as having one purpose, one purpose. Jesus came to save. Jesus is God's hand outstretched to save, not outstretched to judge. His hand has one purpose. That outstretched hand has one purpose in his first coming, to save. The consequence of rejecting his saving hand is judgment. But Jesus wants us to be very clear that there is a difference between purpose and consequence. To return to that airport illustration for a moment. The moving walkway in the airport has a purpose. It's for your good when you're tired of walking or if you're just lazy. It has a purpose to move you from point A to point B. And the warning playing every 2 seconds has a purpose to tell you you're almost at point B. The walkway and the warning are there for your good, to help you, not hurt you. That's their purpose. That is their purpose. But if you refuse to heed the warning, the consequence is your choice. Jesus' purpose is salvation. He's clear, clear, clear. The consequence of rejecting salvation is judgment. And the Word executes that judgment on the day of Jesus' second coming. He emphasizes that day in verse 48. He says, the one who rejects me, the saving one, and does not receive my words, my saving words, has a judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Jesus will come again, we say, in our Nicene Creed, in glory, to judge the living and the dead on the last day. But that judgment at his second coming will only ratify the consequence of our reception or rejection of the saving word that the incarnate word came to declare at his first coming. In our first reading this morning from Hebrews 2 that Mary read to us, we heard this question in Hebrews 2, verse 3, that ought to just ring in the ears and ring in the heart of anyone who may still be rejecting the saving word and the saving words of God in Christ. And that question is, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? That's a hard question. How shall we escape the word of judgment that we bring upon ourselves by neglecting, rejecting the word of great salvation, the word incarnate, the word spoken? How do we escape judgment? How do we escape death? Verses 49 and 50 now, Jesus tells us how. He repeats, praise God, you cannot escape judgment through your own effort, through your own striving, through your own earning. It is by Jesus' word of command. You cannot earn life. Jesus alone commands life. Jesus says, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. Jesus is so gracious here to remind us that we can trust him. He speaks as God the Son, the message that God the Father has sent him to speak. This is not just a man. This is God speaking. God the Father has given God the Son a commandment for us. What is that commandment? Jesus says in verse 50, I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. And the earth ought to shake when we hear the Lord Jesus say this word to us. His commandment is eternal life. Where have we heard that before? In John. Let's go on a quick tour, shall we? Chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Chapter 2, verse 19. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Chapter 3, verse 16. Whoever believes in me should not perish, but have eternal life. Chapter 4, verse 50. Go, your son will live. Chapter 5, verse 8, get up, take up your bed and walk. Chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Chapter 7, verse 38, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Chapter 9, verse 7, go. Wash in the pool of Siloam. Chapter 10, verse 28. I give my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish. And last but not least, chapter 11, verse 43. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! I know that his commandment is eternal life. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice. The humble poor believe. He speaks life. He gives life. He commands life. What a gift. And what grace that Jesus reveals himself, reveals, and for our sake, and for our good, and for our grounding in the gospel, he repeats himself. Even in these 7 verses at the end of John 12, for our good and for our grounding in the gospel. You might step back and just ask, before we come to the very end of this chapter, why does Jesus continue to repeat these same things? And repeat them, and repeat them. For the unbeliever this morning, he's repeating these things and he's revealing these things over and over and over again so that you would hear the good news and believe. So that you would believe and be delivered from judgment forever. And so that you would be raised to life at his command. For the unbeliever this morning, he's repeating these things to you. You keep hearing this same sermon so that you would believe. And for the believer this morning, he reveals and repeats, so that you would hear the good news and be glad in the gospel and be grounded in the gospel, so that you would know that these things are true, or be able to articulate that these things are true. Stand firmly upon these things that are true. After our 7:30 Christmas Eve service, I met a visitor outside. I have never met the person before and haven't seen them since then, so they may have been from out of town. And they said to me right out here on the brick patio, "Jamie, I believe that the gospel is true, so what do I do now?" And we were right out there on the brick, and I just said, the same thing we're doing right now. Stand on it. Trust in it. Walk forward upon it. Be confident in it. Stand. Be firm. Trust. Walk forward. Being rooted, being confident, being glad in the rock-solid truth of the gospel. Stand on the gospel. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, the one who speaks his word of good news. Yes, and the one who speaks a word of warning and who will come again to judge the living and the dead. And the one who has the power to speak life. This is the kind of truth that ought to never get old, amen? We can never hear it enough. So when you forget this, I'll remind you. And when I forget it, you remind me. Deal? Deal. Let's pray. God, we thank you and we praise you. That, Father, like you tend and spare us. Well, our feeble frame, you know. In your hands, you gently bear us. You rescue us from all our foes. Alleluia. Alleluia. Widely yet your mercy flows. Thank you for crying these words out. Thank you for letting us hear the cry of your heart for us. And for the whole world. Oh Lord, help us to hear and trust these words of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.